I'm Patrick Finley's Mark Potash. Coming up, the Bears have solved two of their problems, they hope, by making two trades. Mark Potash and I will break it all down coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Potsy, as you and I sit here at 11 a.m. on a Wednesday, the Bears have made two trades to try to fix their problems at guard. They sent a fourth-round pick in next year's draft to the Chiefs for Joe Tooney, who was literally voted the MVP of the team this year, and a day earlier traded a sixth-round pick that they got for Justin Fields to the Rams for Jonah Jackson, who had spent four seasons playing for Ben Johnson in Detroit. What do we think so far, Potsy?
Well, I think it shows you the influence of a head coach that you pay $13 million a year to, and what a difference, you know, that can make. The Bears did address the offensive line with Darnell Wright, but but not quite like they have here. And I think that's because of Ben Johnson. And everybody knows, we knew it from the beginning, the big difference with Ben Johnson in Chicago and in Detroit is the offensive line. So, it remains to be seen how good these moves are, but I think it really is an indication that that Ben Johnson's influence is kind of what we thought it would be when the Bears made this bold move to sign, you know, the hottest coordinator in the cycle.
The fact that they're going to spend a lot of money on the two guards, I think, is notable. You've got Jackson, who's going to make $17.5 million this year between his base salary and a signing bonus that he, or in a roster bonus he gets next week. And then you have Tooney, who's on a 1-year, $16 million deal, I believe, but who's probably going to get a new contract. Are you okay with them spending that sort of money at guard, which, while guards become more of a premium position in recent years, it's not quite what tackle is, or even what right tackle is, in terms of how eager people are to spend there?
Well, with them already having Wright kind of solidified at right tackle, I think it makes it a little bit easier. That's not ideal. But, you know, when you're putting together an offensive line, it's so important, as the Chiefs themselves found out in the Super Bowl, in both the Super Bowls they lost. It's so important that you got to do what you got to do. And I think it's time to stop pussyfooting around for the Bears. You know, they've had two offensive linemen in their front office in Ian Cunningham and Ryan Poles, and they really haven't put together a really good offensive line in 3 years. And I think they have to do what they have to do. I think desperation has been the motivation at Hallis Hall. I think it's why they aggressively signed the hottest coordinator in the cycle and paid him an amount that George Hallis or any Hallis never would have. And I think it's motivated them here to do something, to motivated Poles here to do something that maybe he might not have done before. And it's a roll of the dice, but it's so important to Ben Johnson's offense to have a good offensive line that they needed to do something. So to answer your question, I think it's what they had to do, and just to at least get their feet on the ground with the offensive line, with the quarterback they have. That's got to be immediate.
Well, and as much as they like Caleb Williams isn't going to get any taller. And, you know, at 6'1", I think it's important for him to have a solid interior line. Isn't this the old Drew Brees thing, Potsy, where – if you want to have your quarterback able to see down the field, your center and your two guards need to be pretty good.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's been almost for any quarterback nowadays, the interior line has really become more and more important. And in general, as you've seen guards become more and more athletic, you've been able to do more with them. So they've become more integral to the offensive line than just pass blocking and having two great tackles to do that. So I think in general it's been more important, but I think it's a good point with a quarterback who is not your 6'5", rock rib quarter, stand back there quarterback who's gonna throw 40 passes a game. I think that's even more important for the Bears. So I guess what I'm saying is I think you're doing this the right way.
You and I, you've been doing this a lot longer than I have, but I've even now been doing this for a while, and we've seen veteran offensive linemen come in here who just kind of aren't what they used to be. You know, yes. Jason Peters may go down as one of the best, you know, tackles of his generation, but he was, by the time he got to the Bears, he certainly was not that. Orlando Pace is on that list. You could even argue that Josh Sitton, while he put in a couple of pretty good years with the Bears, was never what he was with the Packers. Should that scare anybody when we look at Joe Tooney?
Yes, yes, absolutely. I think the comp for me, I went straight to Josh Sitton for this, because he was kind of, he was, I think he was cut by the Packers.
He was.
The Bears picked him up, and he was good. He made the Pro Bowl his first year, but he was never as dependable health-wise as he was. And he was 29, I think, or 30, turning 30. And he's kind of a, to me, he's a very similar player. So I guess, but what I'm saying is, I think if you get a year or two of what Josh Sitton gave, that might be good enough. But as far as a long-term thing, but anyway, to your question, skepticism, you know, as you know, it's right up my alley. Absolutely. Absolutely. You should be skeptical about these moves, because I think you have to wonder, like I said, you know, the Chiefs, their biggest, their only Achilles heel with Patrick Mahomes in 8 years or so, whatever number of years, has been pass protection. That's the only time he's ever been mortal. And so for them to like lose their best offensive lineman, regardless of the cap number, I think is you got to wonder, you know, what do the Chiefs know that the Bears don't? And, you know, and we've had this, you know, this situation come up for polls many times before, with Chase Claypool and with Ryan Bates and with Nate Davis, you know, what does Mike Vrabel know that we don't, you know, and we found out, you know, that kind of thing. So I think the skepticism is absolutely legit when you consider it. I think the optimism is legit, but the skepticism is legit as well. And for both these players, Jackson and Tooney, I think, yeah, like you said at the open, it's fair to wonder, are they going to be the same player for the Bears that they were for the, you know, Lions and the Chiefs?
I remember the day that they signed Josh Sitton. I believe Ryan Pace was giving a press conference at the dais at Hallis Hall. And I think your question was exactly that, right? It was, what do the Packers know that you don't know? Right.
I it wouldn't surprise me if that's what I asked.
You asked him directly, if I remember correctly. The fact that that these trades are being made certainly the Chiefs are closer to a Super Bowl than the Bears are. I think a lot of intelligent people could argue that the Rams are too. Should we be skeptical that better teams are trading the Bears, these guys? I know a healthy dose of skepticism is always good, but when there are people who are looking to win more immediately than you are, who decide that that they're ready to move on, should that give you pause?
Yeah, I think that's always an interesting thing. You know, it's always like, for the most part, when the Patriots in their run, when they let somebody go, it was not a good sign, with the exception of who, I can't remember who the pass rusher was who went to the Raiders. He ended up being, it was like one guy who's ever been all pro after leaving them. But in general,
and I think his career may have ended after a series of bizarre arrests. It was Jones, right? Bones Jones's brother.
No, there's one. I can't remember who.
Anyway, go ahead.
I can't remember who it was. I'll have to look it up. But anyway, I think it's fair to wonder that sometimes another team's depth is good. The Blackhawks just made a trade for a goalie who looks like, you know, he was he was sitting behind a Hall of Famer in Florida, and now looks like he could be a real, you know, the real thing. So it works both ways, is what I'm saying. So, you know, that sometimes that in general that could be excess, sometimes not. The only thing is here, unlike when they let like Nick Allegretti go last year, he went in free agency and signed, I think, with the Commanders, and he was a backup who started in the Super Bowl. They don't really have a replacement for Tooney. So I'm more on the skepticism side of like, wow, are they hurting that much on the cap that they need to let go one of their best players? So I would have to agree. I side more on when a better team than you is letting a player go, I guess I'm more skeptical, than usual. So
I find it intriguing though, that the Bears, I think my presumption is that they will tear up the contract and give Tooney a new one here in the next couple of months, if not sooner. You know, you're already paying Jackson a good amount of money. They seem to be paying this tax of a draft pick to not have to go negotiate against anyone other than themselves. I like that. I think that that Ryan Poles with these two trades now has done as well as he could have possibly done in the open market at offensive line. And if the price for that is a 4 in 2 years and a 6 this season, I mean, those are guys who, if you're lucky, those are special teams players after a couple of seasons.
Yeah, I mean, tactically, these are good moves. The question is about judgment. And that's a key question with a guy like Ryan Poles, who, especially on the offensive line, is really supposed to know his stuff. And like, you know, right, Darnell Wright, I mean, that number 10 pick, it's you can miss on those, but I mean, getting it right is that a lot of people can get that right. But really the key factor here is judgment. How much do they have left? How much do they have? And so, like I said, tactically, these are, I agree, these are, they're good moves. But it's the key factor, the X factor, the unknown, as we had to do a critical year for the Bears and for Caleb Williams, is just how good is their judgment about these players. And at least, you know, he knows, Tooney was there when he was there, right? I mean, that's
correct. Yeah. So they were the front office.
He knows Tooney, Ben Johnson knows Jackson. So there's familiarity there where there wasn't with guys like
Say Nate Davis
and Chase Claypool. So maybe that's a factor. You know, we're kind of, everyone's feeling pretty good about the Bears. Maybe we're leaning towards optimism, and they are heading in the right direction. The arrow's definitely pointing up for the Bears, and so I think it looks good. But I think it's fair. I think it's fair to wonder a lot of these things, and a lot of other people are asking. And that's why I can't wait for the season to see just how it turns out, because there's so much potential there. And it's kind of, not to take us off track here, but it's such a defining season for Ryan Poles this year. Even if you consider, well, gee, the first year of an offense, should they make the playoffs? Should they not? I know that's a bigger picture thing than you want to get into, but this is still a huge critical year when it comes to Ryan Poles, not so much Ben Johnson, but Ryan Poles, as far as his ability, his just intuition about people, about players, and which is kind of hit and miss, wouldn't you say, at this point? As far as personnel, I mean, that's,
yes, yeah, I absolutely.
Think, you know, probably maybe some people leaning towards the negative. So anyway, it's a key year. This is gonna, how these moves are gonna be even bigger than they would have been a year or two ago.
When Ryan Poles came in here, he admitted that he wasn't going to bat 1,000, you know, and that he, you know, especially in trades, and that there are going to be some he wanted back, and that some he'd be thrilled with. And I think that's played out thus far. I mean, you said Chase Claypool's name earlier. I mean, that's a pretty classic example of something that we knew was bad pretty quickly. Potsy, before we go, if I had to ask you, I know how much you like being put on the spot. If I had to ask you to rank the Bears' needs among O-line, defensive end, defensive tackle, tight end, and running back, what do you think is the most pressing there?
Well, I still think O-line. O-line. Mm-hmm. I still think it's the O-line, because, I mean, that's just so critical to their success. And I'm not convinced that, you know, they don't I guess Joe Tooney, you could say that's a plug-and-play guy, obviously. But even then, I just think you need more. It looks like you need a center, right? I mean, defensive end would obviously for some people be number one, especially with Sweat falling off a little bit last year, and now you don't have DeMarcus Walker. But I kind of figure if they let go of DeMarcus Walker, they must have a plan of who they like and who they want, because you don't let go of a guy who's, you know, not cheap, but certainly dependable. You must have a certain idea of what you want opposite Sweat. So, but that would be 1A. That would be 1A, I guess. I'm sure that's one on a lot of people's lists. And so I think it's pretty clear, you know, both sides of the line are still, even with these moves, still where they're looking at heading into free agency and then the draft.
If I told you that $20 million a year guaranteed for the next 2 years would get you Khalil Mack, your reaction to that would be what?
Skepticism. I don't know. I mean, it's one of those moves that would be better than what they have. But I don't know. Reunions don't always work out well. And I didn't know how much he had left when he left the Bears, to tell you the truth. He's had more, than I thought, but yeah, I guess it would be like, I thought he was good when he was here. Really good. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think. I think I'm thinking on the fly here. What was your price again?
Let's give him 40 million guaranteed total over 2 years.
Yeah, I think you could get. You could find. I would trust. I would hope not trust. I would hope that they could come up with something a little more cost efficient than that, with a new defensive coordinator who obviously has an idea and rightfully so. He's Dennis Allen's, you know, pretty accomplished. An idea of what he wants to do. So I guess I would vote no on that, but I'd have to see what their options are.
Yeah. I mean, the idea, obviously.
I just don't know how much Mac has left.
Yeah. And I mean, it'd be interesting too, that, you know, when he was here, kind of the entire defense was built around him. You know, it still might be, if he comes back, as much as you hate to say it. I mean, I'd still be more worried about Mac getting to the quarterback than I would be Montez Sweat if I was game planning against the Bears. But at least then you had somebody decent on the opposite side. Potsy, it seems like the point here in these early trades and in free agency is going to be to make it so when they get to the draft, they're not locked into one position group. Would you still lean toward one of the two lines, kind of all things being equal?
I don't hold out the possibility that they will pull a surprise and do something that we don't expect. But yeah, going in, I think so. I think it's a defensive end. It's defensive end right now. It looks like I'll be honest. I'm not up on the draft as much as I probably should be. I don't know what their chances are or where they are at 10. But I think a pass rusher, it would have to be high on the priority list, but you know, I don't know. It's kind of so hard to say. I mean, it's hard to say if at that point of the draft, can you get somebody who can make an immediate impact? Where can you get the most immediate impact? I think immediate impact is important. Let's put it that way.
Might be running back.
Right. Well, exactly. That's right. My point. That's the surprise, right? I mean, right. So I think I would look more for immediate impact. I think that's what the Bears need. But you know, free agency will tell you what, as far as defensive end to pass rusher, free agency will tell you, you know, just how badly where they need or what, you know, I mean, at one point their big, you know, DeMarcus Walker was their big pass rushing addition, right? At one point, it might be that kind of guy again. Who knows? So I would say that they're more looking for immediate impact in the draft at 10 than anything else. And I think they have enough holes to fill that they aren't necessarily, kind of plugged into one position, kind of a best, you know, the best player or whatever, to get. So, you know, that's what I think they're going to do in the draft is get somebody who can make an impact.
Last thing,
trade up. Do you think you could trade up?
I think they could trade up if they needed a D lineman or an O lineman.
Yeah, if there's a scenario with that, that wouldn't surprise me either.
I think you'd have to hope and pray that the quarterbacks who we all think are going to go third, fourth, and fifth overall end up going one and two overall. You know,
Go ahead.
Oh, and then you get the Abdul. You know, maybe Abdul Carter at four is something
that'd
you
be can the
get
dream to. Scenario, right?
Yep. Yeah, it would be.
Jalen Carter was a dream scenario at this point a couple of years ago, right? Look how that turned out. The jury's still out on that, right? I mean, that's a weird that's a whole other podcast, right? But I was gonna say the shame of this is that five wins got you in the first 2 years of the 17 game season, got you the fifth pick.
Right.
And this year, because of tanking, I think. Because of lopsided, top heavy, bottom heavy, whatever you want to call it, the NFL now, it gets you 10. And this is the lowest five wins has gotten you, even in the 16 game season since like 2008 or something. So those few draft picks, you know, going back to Aaron Donald and Dwayne Wade and and players like that, you know, those and Amari Cooper, those two or three picks, they often make a difference, and they could this time too. That's why that's the only reason I brought up the trade up scenario to make up for that. They generally, I don't think, do they trade up or down? I can't remember what Poles does. He trades down, right? Generally. Yep.
Yeah. Well, and yep. you have to wonder too, now that he's given up some draft capital for the next 2 years in these trades, maybe, you know, when they're in second or third round, maybe he tries to recoup some of that by going back down a little bit too. And I know people, that's usually not a sexy topic, but right. I wouldn't be surprised if he, you know, hunts down that fourth round pick from next year in his moves during draft week this week.
Yep. But going back to the top, I think let's see what Ben Johnson's influence is. Maybe he's going to do more things that he doesn't normally do because of this. I think that's a real factor in this, in doing this, like, you know, giving up draft capital that he normally goes the opposite way. I think it's good. I feel better about the Bears prospectus now than I do, like, even in previous, going back to other things we've talked about, than in previous first-year coaches. I just feel like with Ben Johnson, the wind's at their back, and yep. and they have a better roster to start with. And I think they have a GM who kind of has learned from his mistakes and is, you know, listening, is just more motivated to make moves. And so that's kind of the theme of these recent moves is, you know, they could not work out, but I think there's also a better, I would go 51-49 that they could work out, I would say. And so on the optimism, pessimism factor, I think you're a little bit more towards the optimistic side just because of Ben Johnson. And I think that's kind of the theme of this offseason is his impact of changing things on the Bears. Again, things they never would have done. Hiring a Ben Johnson is one of them. And so we'll see. So I guess we go into free agency kind of hoping for the best. I think that's the way Bears fans generally look at it anyway, though, right?
51-49 optimism in March, I think, I think for around here, that's actually a pretty good thing.
Posse, yeah, no. I think. I mean, that's not an exact number, but I'm just saying there's more of a tendency to think optimistically than pessimistically, even though the Bears' record is horrid over the last 15, 20, 30 years. I think Ben Johnson's that much of at least on paper, a game changer. And I think we've seen that already in what Poles has already done with these moves and what the Bears have done just to sign him. So I think overall, that's a good thing.
Potsy, before we go, I will draw your attention to something you wrote on Twitter earlier today, in which right after the trade, you said, fire up the emergency podcasts. Now that you've been roped into one, am I allowed to call this an emergency podcast or is it just a regular podcast?
Oh no, this is an emergency podcast. Absolutely. Yes.
You're talking about all
great. I can't keep up with them.
You're talking about how much losing they've done, and it prompted me to look it up. I've been here since the start of Mark Trestman. Do you want to guess how many games under 500 they are since I got here?
Since Trestman, I'd say they are an average of 54.
Look at you.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
I look that stuff up all the time.
That's amazing. Yeah, I've seen 54 more losses than I have wins. So you'll excuse everybody's pessimism. Easy for me to say. Potsy,
yeah, I was thinking about this the other day, Pat, because of situations, at the paper, and I've covered the Bears day in and day out, 17 full seasons where I've been there every day, and I have covered one playoff team. In 17 full seasons.
How'd that game end, Potsy?
It didn't end very well. It was the beginning of the end, as it turned out. And even that, you know, was not a great, it wasn't the beginning of a great thing or anything. And you go back to the, you know, four playoff wins in 32 seasons since Ditka and all that. So that's the reason for the optimism, for the skepticism. But I get, again, this is, that's the whole Ben Johnson thing. So we'll see. I'm even looking forward to the extra mini camp.
Since I got here, Potsy, they've played two playoff games. One of them was during COVID in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Yes. And the other end, and the other ended when Cody Parkey double doinked a field goal.
Yeah, and that was the worst. 2020 was a really bad, but that's almost like in my mind, not even like a playoff game. I mean, we knew what was happening. That was not a playoff team, but I think only a playoff team because of the new setup, wasn't it? Right?
It was. It was the first year that they took an extra playoff team.
Yep. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And they got shut out until the very last play of the game.
If Wims makes that catch.
They got a shot, yeah, on the trick play to miss.
That's so typical of the Bears fan. It's just almost comical.
Yeah. All right, and also don't get roped into a fight by C.J. Gardner-Johnson. That's another good.
Right.
That game. All right, Potsy, we're going to wrap it up. I'm sure we'll be back next week during free agency. But until then, you can follow Mark and myself and Jason Leisure at the Sun Times. You can follow us on social media. And if you live in town, check out a paper. He's Mark Potash. I'm Pat Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.